بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله once again we are blessed by Almighty Allah سبحانه وتعالى to be in the company of the angels إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. This is probably one of the most spiritual times in the entire day because when the Imam recites the Quran in the Salat of Fajr we have the gathering of the angels of the day and also the angels of the night both assembled and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inna Qur'an al-fajri kana mashhuda. So the angels have duties, you've got the day angels and the night angels. And before the night angels ascend to the heavens, and when the day angels arrive from the heavens for their duty, they assemble at the same time and they are present at the time of Fajr. And this, many of the ulama have written, is one of the most spiritual times in the day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability, not just on a Sunday, but on a regular basis to be at the masjid at this special time. And throughout the week, as we know, most of us, we don't spare sufficient time for recitation of the Quran, of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a good start where we can give ourselves a spiritual boost once a week at least, and inshallah we build from there as many opportunities as we can find to spend, whether it's in performing optional prayer, whether it's making dua, whether it's doing dhikr, whether it's reciting Quran, as much as we can inshallah throughout the week whenever we get a chance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability. So what's our topic of discussion? How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planted the love of Masjid al-Aqsa in the hearts of the Ummah. And we've been discussing this for some time, and each week we have one lesson. So who can remind us of last week's lesson? Which lesson number was it? 17. Who can remind us of last week's lesson, inshallah? From those of us that were here. Ji, uncle. MashaAllah, very well remembered. So we spoke about a special prophet, Yahya alayhi salam, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was instructed by Allah to tell the ummah at the time five things. Who can further elaborate on that? Okay, so brothers mentioning something about listening to the Amir. Is that one of the advices of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam or somebody else? So that was one of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advices. Okay, so come on, let's put the pieces together. So we've got two things mentioned. We mentioned quite a few things. It was a lengthy hadith, wasn't it? One of the ones of who? Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, one of the five advices, one of them was give charity. Do you remember the example he gave of a person that gives charity? If you remember, he mentioned five things, and for each thing, he gave an example. Okay, so the first advice was to pray only to Allah and not to ascribe any partners with Him. So he said the example of worshipping anyone besides Allah is if you go out and use your gold or silver to buy a slave, and the slave works for you, but the profits that he gains, he goes and gives it to somebody else. So this is the example he gave of a person that ascribes a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, there was one about fasting. Yes, he said the Prophet Yahya alayhi salam said, as we were told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that imagine a man, he's got some musk wrapped in a cloth and he lives amongst the people. This is the example of fasting, that it's very fragrant. Although you can't see the musk, but it's there. Okay, one of the advices was about remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many have we done? Believing in Allah, charity, fasting, and remembering Allah. Okay, we're doing well, I think. Okay, I think that forms part of the first one. We've done four. Okay, that's fine if we don't remember all of them. Shall we move our focus towards why we mention this and where is this happening? Let's add a bit more context to this hadith, especially for those who weren't here, probably wondering, like, what's going on over here? Okay, so this comes as well, where Prophet Isa alayhi salam is also a part of this hadith, and he spoke to Yahya alayhi salam. What did he say? So Prophet Isa alayhi salam knew about this instruction of Allah that was given to Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, and Yahya alayhi salam hadn't yet informed the people. So Isa alayhi salam said that if you don't tell the people, I will go and tell the people these things. And what did Yahya alayhi salam say? Yes, this is a command of Allah. It's not possible for me not to carry out. I fear that a punishment will come upon me. Am I to delay any further or not carry this order of Allah? Allah has told me to do it, so I have to do it. And then he goes and addresses the people. Where is this happening? Can we give some features of this gathering? So this is happening, the hadith tells us, this is happening in Masjid al-Aqsa. So Yahya alayhi salam enters Masjid al-Aqsa, and then what happens? He ascends the pulpit. And was it a small gathering or a large gathering? How large was the gathering? So the hadith mentions the entire masjid became packed with people when they announced. And people were also sitting on the balconies and the corners, and it was totally full. And Yahya alayhi salam addressed the people inside Masjid al-Aqsa. And so he addresses the people. He tells them these five things. And then what happens? Who spoke afterwards? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke, and what did he say? He said, Yahya alayhi salam has instructed five things, and I will also instruct five things. One of those five things were following the Amir. Anyone remember any of the other of the five? Okay, one of them was when the call comes to go out for the cause of Allah, that we go out for the cause of Allah. The first one was to always remain with the group, with the congregation, not to split yourself, to follow the Amir, to obey and listen to the rules, and to go out for the cause of Islam when you are asked. And we concluded on this, and we mentioned that it was interesting that the advices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after mentioning Masjid al-Aqsa, they were all related to those things which are vital that would be required to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay, for people to be united, for people to follow the instructions, for people to go out for the cause when it's required, etc. So this is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us of two great prophets, Yahya alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, and how the seat of Masjid al-Aqsa, meaning a member of Masjid al-Aqsa, at one time or throughout the ages has been the place of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and how they lectured and addressed their people. And what was the campaign? So at the end of every lesson, we're having a campaign that we want people to go away and throughout the week do something. So we had three questions, didn't we? What is the total area of Masjid al-Aqsa? Number two, what is the capacity of Masjid al-Aqsa? And more related to the hadith is, how many members are there inside Masjid al-Aqsa? So let's see who's done their homework. So number one, capacity of Masjid al-Aqsa. And this is basic knowledge which every Muslim should know about, because Masjid al-Aqsa is one of the greatest symbols of Allah on this earth. So who can tell us the capacity? Sorry, let's talk about the area first. So you've got some of the information right. Okay, so either 35 is, the number 35 is correct. That's correct. Okay, so in terms of square meters, is 144,000 square meters. Remember this number. The area of Masjid al-Aqsa, 144,000 square meters. This is how big Masjid al-Aqsa is. Until the, I think the 80s, it was the largest masjid in the whole world. Even bigger than the Haramain. They got expanded later on. So imagine, even now, Masjid al-Aqsa would be one of the largest masjids in the world. That's how big it is. Okay, and until not so long ago, it was the largest masjid in the world. The expansion of both Haramains happened much later. So we can say in recent times. But this is the how great it is in size. Number one. And in terms of acres, it would be 35 acres. What's the capacity? Anybody know the capacity? How many people can be fit inside Masjid al-Aqsa? What was that, sorry? Okay, so we've got similar numbers. So we've got 500,000 here and 450,000, okay, 500,000 people you can fit in there. But that would be if everybody was standing very, very close like they do at the time of Hajj. Otherwise, comfortably, you're looking at around, say, 400,000 comfortably. But then the 500,000, 500,000, which there has been on many occasions, especially on the 27th night, Laylatul Qadr, we find that people are, if you use all of the areas, all of the roofed areas, all of the open areas, and this is the maximum capacity of Masjid al-Aqsa, which is quite large, isn't it? It's quite huge if you think about it. For a masjid to be able to fit that many people in, it must be quite large in size. People are quite surprised when they hear the capacity. Many people refer to the green or grey domed area as Masjid al-Aqsa only. That can only accommodate 4,500 people. So you can see, by us restricting the definition of Masjid al-Aqsa to that building alone, we're sort of limiting it to such a small number in comparison to 500,000, 4,500. So Masjid al-Aqsa is not just a building, it's 144,000 square meters of land. And coming to our main question, how many minbars are there inside Masjid al-Aqsa? How many pulpits are there? Four. Now you'll have to tell me which ones as well. Okay, anybody else? How many have you seen? Especially for those who've been. How many do you remember seeing? Anybody? This is not generally a question that's generally asked. People speak about the domes, they speak about the educational platforms, the wells, the mihrabs are discussed. Mihrabs, there's so many mihrabs that I don't think anyone's counted. That's how many mihrabs there are. In Masjid al-Aqsa, there are too many mihrabs. Mihrabs, like meaning like this kind of niche, there's too many. I don't even know the number. That's how many there are. There's mihrabs everywhere. So, no, with the mihrab, there is no... Remember, mihrab indicates the direction of prayer. Okay? So they are separate to the actual pulpit, the minbar. So, no, every mihrab doesn't have a minbar, no. In actual fact, nobody knows? Okay. In the entire Masjid al-Aqsa, there are only two minbars. Okay? One of them doesn't have a mihrab as well. So it's not with a mihrab. So the first minbar, okay, is the one right at the front. Okay, the famous one, the magnificent minbar, which we've spoken about many times, of Nuruddin Zinki Rahmatullah Alayhi, which Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Alayhi bought, and then the tragedy happened in 1969 regarding its burning. So that's one of them, and everybody knows that one. The second one is not so far from the Dome of the Rock, which is known as the Minbar of Qadi Burhanuddin, and it's made of marble, and it's the one that was used, it was known as the summer pulpit. So when the weather would be good, the people would pray outside. It's no longer in use, but it's there. So in Masjid al-Aqsa, there are only two pulpits, two minbars, whereas when it comes to mihrabs, there are countless mihrabs. It would be an interesting task if somebody actually counted them. There are so many mihrabs all over the place. Only two pulpits, two minbars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us more and more barakah. Okay, so today's lesson is number 18. Okay, lesson 18. Our topic of discussion is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planted the love of Masjid al-Aqsa in the hearts of the Ummah. Question: who amongst us would not love to be praised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for our steadfastness on our religion despite the challenges and difficulties? I mean, who wouldn't like that? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about us and said, such and such a people are going to come, that they're going to be very steadfast on their religion and they will stand up to any challenges. Who amongst us would not love to be favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overpower any opposition when it arises? Who wouldn't like that? And who amongst us wouldn't enjoy this privilege to be classed amongst the people who are always on the truth? Every group, every Muslim, every family, every community, every organization would love this for themselves, for their families, for their children, to enjoy these privileges. And nowadays we find every group, every organization, every sect claims to be from the people of truth, from the saved sect, for the ones who are going to earn paradise. Just like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, all of the Sahaba, they earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst they were in this world. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn in a hadith that he told us, he told the Sahaba about a people that are going to come who will always be on the truth. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they heard about this, they hastened to inquire in regards to their location. O Prophet of Allah, where will such people be? Shall I share the hadith with you? The hadith is reported by Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will always remain a group of people from my ummah, and then he gave certain features. He said, number one, they'll be very steadfast on the deen. They will remain steadfast on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will overcome their enemies. Despite how strong and powerful the enemy will be, they will always overcome their enemies. Anybody that tries to harm them or abandon them, this will not sway them from their mission, their goal. They will continue to remain firm on the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, except which Allah wills to harm them will be harmed. Otherwise, they will remain firm. They will not be harmed by those who abandon them, and they will remain firm on the truth. Now, this is something great. The Sahaba said, where will such people be? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that they will remain like this until the final hour, until the command of Allah doesn't come. So a few things mentioned. People who will remain on the truth, they'll be steadfast in the religion, they will overcome their enemy, and anybody that abandons them, tries to harm them, it will not sway them from their purpose. They will still remain firm, and they will continue like this until the final hour. Sahaba said, Aynahum ya Rasulullah? Where will we find such people? Where will they be? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Baytul Maqdis wa aknaf Baytul Maqdis. They will be in Baytul Maqdis and surrounding Baytul Maqdis. Now imagine, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again is planting the love of Masjid Al-Aqsa in the hearts of the Ummah by showing the people how valued, how important, how significant Baytul Maqdis is in the sight of Allah, that from the heavens it is protected. Don't we hear the hadith? Tuba li Sham, glad tidings for the people of Sham, and Baytul Maqdis is in the center. Then they said, why, O Prophet of Allah? It is because I see the angels have spread their wings. So the angels from the heavens are protecting Baytul Maqdis and its surroundings. And on the land of Baytul Maqdis, Allah has kept a group of certain people that will be divinely assisted. So this is a group, At-Ta'ifatul Mansura, divinely assisted until the Day of Judgment. So this is how important and significant that particular land is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, every Muslim, although we are not amongst these people, we know that this is not our definition, we're not being described. People want to know, who are the people on Haqq? Who are the people on the truth? And the hadith mentions clearly that it's going to be in Baytul Maqdis where there will be a group of people that will have these qualities. Although we are not from them people, every Muslim should desire to have this within them, to support such individuals, to support this cause, to pray for them, to do whatever we can to raise awareness in their regards. Because every incident that happens at Baytul Maqdis or its surroundings, in reality is not just a test for the Palestinians, it's a test for the entire Muslim Ummah. Because this is now related directly to this hadith of At-Ta'ifatul Mansura, and it is the duty of every Muslim, every believer, not just to help the cause of Masjid Al-Aqsa, but to help this group of people and assist them as well. So every challenge that comes there is a test, not just for them, but for you and I, to see how we respond. Do we even make dua for such people? And do we do what's within our capacity to offer our aid, our support, in whichever means it is possible? So what do we take from here? What's our campaign for this week? This week's campaign is, just like we follow our local news, just like we follow our regional news, just like we follow international news as well, let us make a habit on a daily basis. We check the news, don't we, every day? We all do this, okay? And we've got like multiple avenues which we are checking, sometimes on one, sometimes on the other, sometimes on the other, sometimes on our devices, sometimes on TV, sometimes on radio whilst we're driving. We're always checking the news to see what's happening locally, or it could be internationally. Let us make an effort every single day, just like the Sahaba would, okay, every single day, let us follow the news of Baytul Maqdis. This is a start. This is a start. Let us follow the news of Baytul Maqdis, and after hearing what we hear, we can do at least three things. Number one is, we'll increase our dua for that region, for that people, for that masjid. Number two, we will continue to raise positive awareness. And number three, we will support, inshallah, within our means, whatever is within our capacity, to support the cause of Baytul Maqdis. One of the best sites or news channels which I would recommend at this time is the Quds News Network. Quds News Network. So they've got a website, they're on Facebook, they've got a Twitter handle, they're on Instagram, they're on Telegram. So whatever you generally use, and if you can join all of them, even better. But this is somewhere I will recommend. There's many others as well, which will bring you up to date, verified news from Palestine as it's happening. And inshallah, you can access it from there, share it with other people as well. Quds News Network, QNN. It's up to date, and inshallah you'll be connected, just like we're connected with the rest of the world. We should be connected with Baytul Maqdis as it happens. We receive the news, it will keep us up to date. We will increase our dua, we will share this news with other people, and then we'll do within our capacity whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Now inshallah we'll give a few minutes for the recitation of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So just a quick update on what's been happening this week in Palestine. Again, as we say every week, it's impossible to cover even, you know, 5%. It's such an eventful place. There's so much happening constantly. So first I'll give you some very fresh news, which happened late last night. So something very fresh. So, you know, everybody's heard about the Palestinian version of Prison Break. Everyone's heard about the incident and what happened. And then last week we mentioned four of the those who escaped were arrested, rearrested. So just late last night, news came in of the other two of the six have also been rearrested as well. May Allah make it easy for all those who are serving sentences in prisons throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala release them with ease. So that was something that's just literally happened overnight. And throughout this week, we saw the beginning of the Hebrew year. And as a result of which, we find further escalation in the provocative measures which were taken by some of these temple groups inside Masjid al-Aqsa, taking advantage of the situation because of COVID and other things, where we saw things happening this year which we've not seen in the previous years. So number one is the number of settlers that are invading Masjid al-Aqsa is increasing. Number two, certain Talmudic rituals which were never carried out inside Masjid al-Aqsa have been done this year, and especially in the last week. For example, they have a day which is known as the Day of Atonement. So they wear special clothing, a white special clothing. So this time they came dressed in this particular type of clothing. And then they carried out many of the rituals that are carried out only at this time of the year, at the new year and on the days of atonement inside Masjid al-Aqsa. Remember, this is happening whilst Masjid al-Aqsa was emptied from male worshippers, female worshippers. Children were arrested at this same time from one of the gates of Masjid al-Aqsa just because they were singing some nasheeds by saying that Al-Aqsa will always belong to us. Four children were arrested, okay, from one of the gates of Masjid al-Aqsa just to make way for these settlers to come in and do their worship inside one of the greatest masjids on planet Earth for the Muslims. Similarly, congregational Talmudic prayer is now happening inside Masjid al-Aqsa, allowed. Something which is internationally recognized as not permissible. According to the status quo, Muslims are free to worship and people of other faiths are free to visit, not to pray. But this is being broken again and again. Children are receiving blessings from the rabbis inside Masjid al-Aqsa. Jewish marriages are taking place inside Masjid al-Aqsa. They are conducting courses and lectures inside Masjid al-Aqsa. It's as if Masjid al-Aqsa has become a Talmudic lecture hall now. So announcements are made. So-and-so lecture will take place inside Masjid al-Aqsa, okay, on Talmudic studies, and certificates will be distributed afterwards. Before, you could not have imagined any such practice to take place. And now we're finding more and more and more, and this is only increasing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to continue praying. So there's a lot of dua needed, a lot of concern needed, and many more people need to continue visiting. When the Muslims visit these places in large numbers, we don't see such things happening. So they're taking advantage of the emptiness of the masjid. And the times where Masjid al-Aqsa is empty, during, especially after Ishraq, when everybody disperses for work, for study, these are the timings, 7:30 to 11:30, every single day, from Sunday to Thursday, we have these incursions inside Masjid al-Aqsa. And now, you know, they're taking group photos there, they're using the water fountains there, as if it belongs to those individuals, and they are spending their time there explaining to their people their narrative inside Masjid al-Aqsa, wearing t-shirts, okay, which are offensive, at the back of which there are pictures of the temple saying Al-Aqsa will be destroyed and the temple will be rebuilt in its place whilst inside Masjid al-Aqsa. Imagine a Muslim was to do something like this, okay, they would be arrested, they would be persecuted, their house could even be demolished, like we're seeing the house demolitions taking place every single day in those lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive the ummah once again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings from the Palestinians and throughout the world wherever Muslims are being persecuted. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do whatever is within our capacity to at least raise awareness. The international outcry, why things are different this time round and why it's having an impact, is because this time round, internationally, Muslims have been vocal. We just heard very recently, in the few weeks prior to this, we were discussing about the woman who was detained, pregnant woman who was detained when she was 4 months pregnant, and she was handcuffed to her prison bed, and she wasn't given any treatment, any medical supplies in her pregnancy, and they expected her to deliver, she was going to have a cesarean section in this manner, whilst handcuffed to the bed. And she was released days before the delivery date, and this was only because there was an international outcry. Otherwise, how many cases like this take place day in, day out, and nobody gets to know? So, alhamdulillah, your efforts, your messages, your du'as, your raising of awareness, your speaking is making a difference. Keep going, don't stop. You know, we've come to a stage where, you know, other things have taken priority. We don't talk about Al-Aqsa anymore, but there's a great need to continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah, now we'll do some dhikr, conclude with dua, and then breakfast will be served for everybody after Ishraq. Jazakumullahu khairan. Recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik lana. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله 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 العظيم. أستغفر الله 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 أستغفر الله. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين، وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد ولا نعمة الإيمان، ولك الحمد ولا نعمة الإسلام. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين. O kind Allah, O loving Allah, O most merciful and compassionate Allah, we beg you in your blessed house for your forgiveness, O Allah. O Allah, you love to forgive sins, O Allah. Only you can forgive, O Allah. You are the greatest forgiver, O Allah. You are the only forgiver, O Allah. We beg you for your forgiveness, O Allah. O Allah, please forgive all our sins, O Allah. Forgive the sins of the day, O Allah. Forgive the sins of the night, O Allah. Forgive the sins we have committed openly, O Allah. Forgive the sins we have committed in secret, O Allah. We have every type of sin, O Allah. We have disobeyed you, O Allah. We confess and acknowledge, O Allah. But you are very kind and loving, O Allah. You love to forgive, O Allah. Your forgiveness is greater than all our sins put together, O Allah. You are the only forgiver, O Allah. We beg you for your forgiveness, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. Forgive all our shortcomings, O Allah. Create the hatred of sins in our hearts, O Allah. Turn us away from your disobedience, O Allah. Grant us the love of your obedience, O Allah. Make it easy for us to obey you, O Allah. Make us closer to you, O Allah. Make us closer to you, O Allah. Help us to become steadfast on our 5-time salah, O Allah. Help us to recite the Quran on a daily basis, O Allah. Help us to always remember you in all every condition, O Allah. Grant us the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, make his day our day, O Allah. Make his night our night, O Allah. Help us to revive his sunnah practices within our homes, O Allah. Fill our homes with happiness, O Allah. Fill our homes with barakah, O Allah. Fill our homes with your pleasure, O Allah. Help us to revive the sunnah within our lives, O Allah. O Allah, become pleased with us, O Allah. Safeguard us from your anger, O Allah. Grant us a life of afiyah, O Allah. Grant us afiyah in everything we do, O Allah. O Allah, have mercy on our parents, O Allah. Look after our parents, O Allah. O Allah, accept the good deeds of our parents, O Allah. Forgive the shortcomings of our parents, O Allah. Elevate the status of our parents, O Allah. Those of our parents who have left the world, fill their graves with nur, O Allah. O Allah, become pleased with them, O Allah. Make the stages of the hereafter easy for them, O Allah. O Allah, a time will come when we all have to leave the world. We don't know where we will be, O Allah, which condition we will be in, O Allah. We beg you one thing, O Allah. Make our last day our best day, O Allah. Make our final action our best action, O Allah. And grant us the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah when we are leaving the world, O Allah. Grant us a death on Iman and Islam, O Allah. Grant us a death whilst we are praying to you, O Allah. Grant us a death whilst you are pleased with us and we are pleased with you. We are excited and happy to see you and you are happy to see us, O Allah. Grant us death with Iman and Islam, O Allah. Protect us from an evil death, O Allah. Protect us from an evil death, O Allah. Protect us from the evil death, O Allah. Make all the stages of the hereafter easy for us, O Allah. And when the time comes, O Allah, grant us our book of deeds in our right hand, O Allah, and grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, O Allah. We are not deserving of your paradise, O Allah. We beg you through your mercy, O Allah, grant us Jannatul Firdaus, O Allah. Muslims throughout the world, wherever they may be suffering, O Allah, alleviate their sufferings, O Allah. Grant them ease, O Allah. Grant them a life of afi, O Allah. Feed those who are starving, O Allah. Grant clean water to those who are dying out of thirst, O Allah. Grant clothing to those that are naked, O Allah. Grant shelter to those who are homeless, O Allah. Grant peace to those who are living in fear, O Allah. Safeguard Haramain Sharifain, O Allah. Safeguard the sanctity of these holy sites, sites, O Allah. Protect Masjid al-Aqsa, O Allah. Free it and liberate it from the occupation, O Allah. Grant us all an opportunity to perform salah once it is liberated, O Allah. O Allah, help the Ummah, O Allah. Sustain the Ummah, O Allah. Protect the Ummah, O Allah. Have mercy upon the Ummah, O Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked of you many good things. We ask of you the same. He sought your protection from many evils. We seek your protection from the same. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.